I'm sorry, John, we moved on from iron sharpens iron. We're kind of talking about stirring up the local church. So, anyhow, Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. All the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, the interesting thing on that, notice, he doesn't just call the saints in that scripture to assemble for worship, but to stir each other up to love and good deeds. We've got to stir each other up. Now, how are we going to stir each other up? Karen, you're sitting in the back. How are we going to stir each other up for good deeds and love? You had a blank. I caught you off guard. Yes, that's one thing. We're doing that. Being here with a smile and trying to dismiss the worldly things that's going on in each of our lives, and being on good behavior here. How about that? I'll call it good behavior. I'm talking about being upbeat and still walking in. You know, you see somebody and you know something bad's happening in their life or something's going on. They got doom and gloom all over their face, their actions, the way they walk, the way they hold their shoulders, the whole situation. And that's something that some people are just have that, I'm going to call it, born-in attitude like that. Always look for the worst things and everything. That's something we can work on. You know, work on that and try to improve ourselves. And that's a continual type situation for us to do. Oh, I'm going to stir the pot. Win a wife, guys. When our wives wants to stir us husbands up with a desire to take the trash out, okay, she can comment on the bad smell. She can point to an overflowing can or cans that the coons, if you people keep them outside, where the coons have learned how to crawl up and take the lid off and just rummage and get it out of every place, those type of things. Or she could just say, can you please take the trash out? And it may be for the 10th time, okay? No matter what approach she takes, it all comes back to what? What does it all come back to? Kind of a long word, starts with a C. Communication. All those are different communication ways there. She can be direct. Hey, how about taking the trash out? Or she should start dropping those hints. Man, it sure is getting smelly in here. Huh? Well, we do have dull noses on smell, so. So, Kurt. It all comes down to a communication that raises the awareness that there's a need, okay? And the same things in the church. You know, that a lot of times there's a need that's overlooked and somebody realizes it, but they never communicate it to anybody else. Okay? Now, I remember, it's been a good while back now. I may embarrass somebody and she'll probably want to kick me in the shin later. On doing bulletin boards in the hallway. And all of a sudden, somebody stepped up, Cheryl, And she does great bulletin boards. She has a knack and an art with that. And I know she recruits a little bit of help communicating to Kirk here that, hey, I might need a little help taking staples out or doing this or that and those things. Or sometimes you put that stuff up there, you need four or five hands instead of just the two. Oh, Debbie. Debbie, you've been helping. Okay, that's good. I did not know that part. I haven't caught you up here with her. Okay. You just do it at home. Okay. That's is that a mental telepathy thing that you're doing at home? Is that it? Okay. Yeah, y'all got that all worked out. That's interesting to know that. That's good on things. But there's all kind of opportunities that we have around Eastside that can help. I'm going to throw one out. I don't see her. I've been talking with her. We have a lady that's been visiting with her three children. She sits on the back row usually, in the very back. Her name is Linda Henry. And I've been going over visiting with her last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, kind of get to know her. Because she just sits back there with her kids, and not too many people come by and talk to her. Nice lady, came here looking for a church, been going to Pruitt and Lobet. Pruitt and Lobet has, I don't know whether they're totally disbanded or some of them are meeting in somebody's home or something. But anyhow, she's over with her three children. So those elders talked, because we haven't seen a husband. So, is that the mother or the grandmother? Because she knows Ellen real well. You know how Ellen brings her grandchildren. And so this past week, I just went over and asked her. I asked Amanda, that's the girl. Her name's Amanda. The tall boy is Aaron. Amanda and Aaron are twins. And then the younger ones, his name is Darius. He told me his full name something else, and I kind of looked at him. He said, everybody calls me Darius. I said, okay, you're Darius now. But I asked Amanda. I said, Amanda, is your mama a big breakfast cooker on Sunday mornings? And she rolled her eyes. She said, yes, sir. Evidently, I now know that she likes to cook, okay? So I asked her about her husband, okay? And so that is her children. Her husband is overseas on a job with one of these contractors that work on these overseas jobs. So that's the reason why I know husband. Now, I have an aspect. I like to have one or two people step up because she would like to have bulletins and or other reading material to be able to send to her husband, because he's in a spot, there's no church. It's just him, okay, as far as the church is concerned. So he needs encouragement, okay? So if we can give some stuff to her, I'm sure she will mail it, or if you talk to her, I'm sure she'll give you some type of mailing address, however how he gets it, whatever country he's in. But what I'm saying is, it may sound like a simple work, but for that husband in a foreign country, away from his family, that's going to mean a whole lot to that man, okay? And I've never met him. But she hasn't placed membership with us, but, you know, I think she's getting happy with us. Gary, I think the kids have been attending your class most of the time, so they all seem real good, okay, on that. So I just want to throw that out as an example of sometimes good works, good deeds, and I'm just communicating with y'all. So think about that, okay, on something that maybe you can do. Now, bulletins, all you got to do is talk to Karen. Karen will supply you with bulletins from the past or whatever. Okay, well, there you go. So start that. Karen? Well, there you go, Karen. You get to meet Ms. Henry, Linda, this next week, okay? So there's all kind of things like that. I'm just talk about things. Mature discernment is exercised when we select the works that are publicly recommended. And I'm talking about publicly, like I'm just doing right now, you know, talking about a work. But there are a lot of little things that you can do. How many of you remember Ray Ball? Some of you remember Ray Ball. He was one of our deacons years ago. The big thing with Ray, he did the baptistry, and Jose's pretty well taken that over with Ed's help at times, and I think Christian helps him too sometimes. But anyhow, but Ray did the baptistry. But the other thing that people don't know about Ray, Ray did a lot of trimming around the building, because there's at least three or four times I got calls from members that would come drive by the building, and they'd see these limbs all out on the parking lot where he'd been up here trimming on some of these trees and bushes around. And he trimmed till he got tired, and he went home. Came back the next day, sweep them up. Third day, bagged them up, got them in his truck, and hauled them off. But it was an ongoing process. He didn't try to come out and just really hurt himself and do it all at one time. And nobody ever knew it, but I knew it. Everybody wanted to, I don't know why somebody trimmed trees and left a mess. Well, he's going to come back and clean it up, and he did. So there's things like that, always ongoing. You know, our perimeter around our outside of our building, it's like going to the farm. There is always something you can find to do. I mean, it's just the way it is, okay? We all think about cutting the grass, but there's always something else that we can do. And that's part of being a good deed, a good work, helping the church keep up our external appearances. What happens if you drive down the road and you see a church builder, but boy, the grass is knee high, you know, it's just unkept, haven't been painted, no telling when. I mean, do you get good vibes about that? You may want to go visit that church? Usually not. You'll probably pass them up for something else. Then you go the other extreme. You go down Garth out there towards the end of it. Or is that North Main? That's North Main. And that church on the right, they spend thousands of dollars on their landscaping. I mean, it has to be thousands, knowing how most landscapers are. Everything is just so-so, okay? Don't have to be that extreme, you know, because that's a little waste of the Lord's money that gets involved in something that neat and that extensive. So there's all kind of aspects on that. But again, I'm just trying to get us thinking a little bit about things like that. And you don't have to have anybody's permission if you want to come up and trim on a tree or so, okay? Now, you might need to get the permission if you want to come cut one down, which one brother called me about cutting a couple trees down, or three, wasn't it? Was it three? So, anyhow, on that, but understand, there's things you can do without having to ask about anything, okay? How many people want to pitch in a nickel for every staple for some of the kids, the younger ones, to go pick up that have slowly got migrated all the way in the carpet out here, that the vacuums can't pick those things up? And so forth. Ed, you may need to go in the back. On something like that. Another tedious little job, but something we got to watch out on before one of our kids kicks her shoes off. And I'm thinking about Charles. Wants to run a little barefooted. up down the hall, and one of those staples get them in the foot. Just hate for that to happen. But anyhow, there's all kind of little things that we could do around to help keep our the physical appearance of our building up. But then on the other side, there's a lot that we can all still do to help us on the inside as far as our church family. You know, every fall television series, they promote new seasons. And we're right there in that thing. All the main deals, if you had a show that you like, they're shut down for the summer. Okay, they're doing reruns and all that type of stuff. And in the fall, they'll come back. It'll be the same show, but they now come back with maybe a little different twist, new theme. A couple of the characters may have changed a little bit, but most of the characters stay pretty well the same. But they come back and on things, but they promote it as a new season because it's the new thoughts and the way they're presenting things. Same thing with us. What do we do every quarter? We change around teachers if they want to. We'll rotate. Okay? Again, sometimes for the students, not past a quarter. Just remind the other two elders. but sometimes that change, that little change with a new teacher helps keep that spark going with our students. Those type of things. So there's a lot, because each person has a different way they present things and talk about things and so forth on that. So there's things like that that we look at and try to do a very similar type situation on. Because the show takes a break over the summer and then reintroduces a familiar and loved ideas with a fresh perspective. And so we're trying to watch that and work on that same type of situation there. Think about this thought. If you aim for nothing, you will hit it every time. Think about that. That's not original with me. That's a Zig Ziglar quote. I don't know how many of you ever heard Zig Ziglar speak before. I have. He can get pretty wound up talking. But he comes up with some pretty good thoughts and ideas. That quote pretty well describes a lot of churches that are very lukewarm. They've gotten very lukewarm. It's just as if Bill Parrish and I used to talk about it. It's like we could probably put in these, what do you call the time clocks on each side of the big doors. So many people come in, it's like they take a card, go punch the card, come sit in services, leave, punch your card. Hey, I'm done for the week. Wrong. We got to live each day for the Lord, for Christ. It's not that situation, but some people seem to take it that way. This past Sunday, a couple came in. I don't think we have seen them in 6 or 8 weeks, probably. Something like that. But they came in like, you know, everything's fine. You know? Ask him, where you been? Oh, I've been doing a little extra overtime at work, and, you know, he hauled around. But I was just trying to get a point. You know, you've been missed. Okay, where you been? So I don't understand. If he's at work, she won't come by herself. She won't come unless he comes. So there's all kinds of situations out there that you can keep trying to encourage people. It's an ongoing type of situation. Acts 15:3. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversation of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. What happens when you travel? And you stop. You may be in Tennessee or whatever it is. You look up a church, find a church, you go to services. And how many times have you done that and you find people that you know, or they know of you, or they know of Baytown Eastside, okay? How many times has that happened, okay? You start to realize we're all just one big family kind of spread out. The other thing that happens on that is you walk in and you attend services, and guess what? They do the pattern just like we do, are very similar, which is the way it should be, because wherever you attend, it's going to be that way. Now, I've heard people come through the office traveling, I'll ask, will you go to church while you're going to be gone? Well, yeah, we usually do, but, oh, it's so crazy. You know, I'm a Baptist, but we look up a Baptist church and go, and it'll be like, where do these people come from? You know, they do things so different. They're not following the pattern, is what it is. They've decided to do their own pattern. And that's one thing that I feel like is really great about the church, because we are following the New Testament pattern. So when we travel, hey, walking to a church, it's just like you're at home, just different faces all of a sudden. So there's some really good thoughts along that line. But Acts 15:3, Paul and Barnabas were going from church to church, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. These face-to-face reports are still an unbeatable way to fire up a congregation. In the last month, how many people have gone to a gospel meeting someplace in the area? Now, that says something for us, because when you go to gospel meetings, and I know some of them are an hour and a half away, I understand that. But when you go to one, you're most likely going to see people that you either know or know of, that type of stuff, but you encourage them. But when you go, you get encouraged a great deal also. And that's another aspect of spreading the gospel right there. Think about it. It used to be when we had a gospel meeting, what would happen? We'd have, especially Monday and Tuesday, not Wednesday usually, but Monday and Tuesday, we have several visitors from other congregations. Several preachers usually would come. That just doesn't happen anymore. When we've had gospel meetings, it's just us. Visiting preacher, but maybe a couple here and there. What's happened to us on that whole aspect? Okay? We need to think that through a little bit. And pair up, you know, somebody else. Are you going to be off work on Tuesday night, you know, or Monday night? Let's go over to such and such, you know. We'll come by and pick y'all up. Y'all can ride with us. You know, do something like that, okay? Step outside of your normal box is what I'm getting at. We all need to work on that. Everybody's real quiet tonight. Am I being too tough on everybody? You know, I'm trying to remind us of things that we all know, okay, need to work on. It's just a ongoing type thing for us to try to stay in it, in the groove, so to speak, because what are we doing? I remember this from Bobby K. Thompson. He had a little saying he liked to say. He's hustling for the Lord, you know. And he was a character. What was it on Mondays? He would do a round. He'd go down and pick up bananas at these grocery stores that they were going to throw out. They're still good bananas. I mean, They haven't gotten bad or anything, but they just rotate them and all that. He would go get boxes of bananas, and oh, he'd show up at our office and try to carry, bring a whole case of bananas in. I said, what are you doing? You know, but he'd go around visiting anybody who wanted bananas. He'd have bananas. So you didn't have to worry about buying bananas, because every week he's going to come by with bananas. That was just a thing that he did, you know. And so there's little things like that, you know. It's just amazing on things. I'm digging back, remembering things that kind of stuck in my mind on some of that stuff. Watered-down doctrine may bring temporary numerical growth to a church, but it never lasts. And we see a lot of that with some of these big churches, because their attendance rock and roll maybe 100 or 200 in a year, because they have people coming, they have people going, because they're not sticking to the truth. They're doing more entertaining than preaching the gospel, and they start wavering like that. Weak preaching attracts people who don't want to change. Bible preaching connects us with the hearts of people who are willing to be transformed into the image of Christ. I don't think we do, but I thought, got thinking about it. I don't think we really skip any difficult or socially unpopular subjects. Overall, our preachers have been, that we've had, and Brandon's preaching is going to be pretty much on some difficult things at times. We just went through selecting deacons, elders, and the Todd. He did some pretty heavy duty lessons on that I think some of us had not heard before. The angle that he took it was all by scripture. So we tried to stay on top of that. Sound doctrine needs to be preached with love. The pure seed of the gospel is sown. Just like crops, it takes time for that seed to sprout and grow. When it does, good things are going to happen. Be patient. Remember, God will not be mocked. The only way to reap mature, strong Christians is with the whole counsel of God. We see that over in Galatians 6. Worship is the first and foremost directed to God, but he calls for the assemblies of his people to stir up one another for love and good deeds. So we need to continually try to keep each other stirred up in whatever ways that we can. And it may be simple things, or it may be a little bit more complex situation. I pick at him, and I make comments, and he knows I do. If you got a couple hours out of your day, go visit Rolly and Lane, okay? But Rolly's a big talker, so just know that, and you go, and you're going to learn something. You're going to learn something about fishing, most likely. So maybe a little bit of hunting, too, so. But there's things that we need to continually to stay on top of and watch. I'll give you a thought on something. We used to, out here in the front of the building, in front of the brick wall that hides the big AC units and all that, we used to have a flyer bed there. And one of the big freezes just wiped everything out. And you drive by now, you just see some old rocks and grass up in there that they have to weed eat. It might be something somebody just really feel ambitious about. Redo that flower bed and think about plants that may survive a freeze in the future, because we're going to usually get 1 to 2 freezes a year, but on something like that. But somebody has a green thumb, okay? That's for sure. So I just throw one of those things out there. Okay. Now, questions for me. I've been talking, and y'all been real quiet. That back row, I got Don and Nate sitting back there, pretty close to each other. Y'all got questions? Oh, Don got something here. Do I now? I have no idea, Don. Like I said, they people start leaving, they hit problems, and I don't know. Keep in mind that the church is autonomous. Ed and Chester and I, we don't call, we don't meddle in the other church's business. Now, I have at times gotten calls from preachers or elders from other churches asking, you know, how do y'all handle this type of situation or something? And I just tell them what I know and like that. But otherwise, we don't really meddle type thing. So I don't know how to answer that question. So, Nate, you look like you was going to raise your hand and Don beat you. Okay, I'm just making sure. Nate already knows I pick at him. Okay. Well, I think what I keep hearing, because I've had patients that know that we come to a Church of Christ that saw a for sale sign out there in front of their building, and that automatically, do what? Okay, it is up for sale. So, but when you put a for sale sign in front of a church, anybody driving by that doesn't know anything about it, they're thinking, oh, they're not meeting there anymore, unless they drove by on a Sunday and saw vehicles. But if they're doing that, they're probably not meeting at the building. So I have understood they've been meeting at somebody's home, okay? So in that situation. So there's a lot of different circumstances that can happen on those type of things. Anybody else? Okay, small group meetings happening Sunday morning or evening? Evening time. Okay, we got a small group going. And hey, that's been something we have not been doing. I might have made a mistake. I don't think I did. But Celeste kept coming. I don't know why you selected me. You kept coming to me, seemed like the most. I want to do this. And I told her, I said, Celeste, probably one of the biggest works that you can do is to get us going, get back on our visiting, contacting people who come in and visit with us, those type of things, sending cards out to those who are sick and just had surgeries, all those type of things, because we had gotten lax on it, okay? And it needed to get restarted. And Celeste and Andre, they're doing a really good job. But they can't do a good job all by themselves. So after Sunday night services, go over here in the corner. We used to do there in the, the B classroom down the hallway. But people got where they get visiting, they forget to walk down the hallway and go. So we thought this would be a little bit more open and people, oh, what are they meeting about? Oh, yeah, we got that. Even though we make announcements, you know, it still slips their minds. That's what happens with maturity, of course. So, yeah. So, things like that. So, we continue. If y'all have an ideal for us, run it by us. That doesn't mean we're going to do it, or we may change, take your idea and work it into something else type situation. But let us know. If you have a burning desire to teach, let us know. I'm going to make comment. Gary, I may embarrass you right now, Gary. We like to know what our teachers do, what kind of subjects they're going to do. Gary comes and hands us elders his summer 2025 summer quarter, Life After Death, okay, with the teenagers. Now this, I almost like to sit in on your class, Gary, because this is probably some really depth type of study here. Life After Death, introduction. The body, spirit, and soul of mankind. The believer's spirit after death. The unbeliever's spirit after death. The second coming of Christ. The resurrected body. Judgment day. Heaven and hell. Recognition in the afterlife. And then he's going to do college prep. Creation versus the Big Bang, part one. Then creation versus the Big Bang, part two. Which our students need to hear a lot of that, especially those going off to college, because, man, those professors, they are not Christians, for sure. And they don't care what you believe. They're going to tell you how you need to believe. It's a very, very sad on how some of the universities have gone with some of their professors. But anyhow, you know, Gary's done a lot of thought. He's working really hard on this summer quarter. And I say, young people, you don't have to be one of the teenagers in high school. Go in that class. You're going to pick up something from Gary. I mean, he's, yeah, Gary was meant to be a teacher, that's for sure. So with that, I'm going to end class before they wave me down back there. And glad everybody came out. Hopefully you got something out of things today, but let's just keep working on being zealous out here, trying to help each other. We need to all try to get to heaven.